On the cover, a young Ben, also known as Frequency, sits in the middle of a friendly-looking local electronics store. He is surrounded by shelves of radios and torn-apart computers. He's got a huge smile on his face, while he tinkers and plays without a care in the world.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Frequency. Bringing the megahertz.
Now with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 23, Digital Getaway. Issue 1... Freaking and Entering. So the first panel of our comic is an exterior shot of the Gadget Hut, which is a local electronics store that is run by, I think you said, Georgie?
Georgie.
And it is a place that Frequency frequents, if you'll excuse my pun. And so we're going to find Frequency there today. What is Frequency looking for? Like, this is a place that's like, it wasn't named, but the Gadget has shown up once before. This is a place where there were some villains trying to steal some electronics, and you guys rescued, you stopped them and returned most of the materials.
Ben took a couple of things for himself, but
this is like a cool, like, mom and pop Radio Shack. It's a place where you can go in and, like, the owner, Georgie, will be like, ask you what you're looking for, and they'll look, keep an eye out, and people kind of trade in old electronics if you're looking for a special thing or something like that. So what are you there looking for today?
Well, really, all I'm looking for today is I just need a pack of batteries.
Okay.
But Ben always finds the excuse to go there anytime he can.
Because it's the kind of place you run into other stuff.
Exactly. So he will be like, I just need batteries, but he's going to scour the entire store looking at everything. He knows exactly where the batteries are, but I'm... like looking at every shelf, just kind of,
yeah,
you know, I'm just looking, and it will get to the point where he's going to have a, you know, discussion in his head, like, no, you can't spend more money even though you really want to.
Yeah. And this is definitely the kind of place where there's shelves of batteries. There's probably a couple shelves of radios and radio equipment. There's some, like, probably some remote control plane parts. There's in the back, there's a whole room that's just like, servers and computers and racks and networking equipment and stuff like that. Before we move on too much, what does Georgie look like? Where does Georgie hang out?
Georgie has this weird habit of just always floating around the store. And while you're looking around and you see something that's interesting, mm-hmm. as soon as you notice it, he is over your shoulder. Okay. Be like, oh, I see you noticed the TS-75 that just came in last week. He will tell you all the specs, what it's used for, and he's always right there.
So you're looking for something, and there's maybe like one or two other people in the store, but you're all kind of off looking at different things, and Georgie is floating around, looking to see who might need to be suggested something to purchase. And there is a ding, like the ding ding of someone entering the door to the shop. And if you turn and look, the person who has entered is they're pretty tall. They even for an adult. And they are wearing, like, this is really kind of like becoming stereotypical, but all black hood. They have like dark, like big dark glasses, like sunglasses, and some kind of a black scarf or something pulled over their face. and they're wearing like big black boots and kind of like rubbery like gloves, or some kind of a dark materialed glove, and they kind of step in and look around, and they see where the cash register is. Like there's a desk that has some of the smaller, more expensive electronics behind it. And they're going to walk over to that desk and start like poking around at stuff a little bit more aggressively than like a normal customer just walking into a store, like maybe even walking behind the counter.
Oh, boy. I'd try to make eye contact with Georgie. And, you know, I'm assuming if he's kind of going around helping customers and stuff, making sure he sees what's going on. And if we can make eye contact, sort of, you know, I motion over there and I'll let him take the lead on it, but I walk over and get a little bit closer so that I can help out, because, you know, I'm feeling tough.
Mm-hmm. Georgie's store is a pretty modern store. Like it's got a computer that's the cash register. He might have an iPad or something that's the thing, like the actual like register that people swipe money into. Credit cards is the word I'm looking for.
Swipe money.
Yeah, and so this guy who is now like kind of like on like maybe not fully behind the counter, but is like definitely inching around, leans over and puts a very strange looking USB thumb drive into one of the computers that's near the cash register. It's not the actual cash register, but you've hung around long enough that you know that this is one of the computers that Georgia uses to mine Bitcoin or whatever the like electronic currency equivalent in Protean City is.
Okay. Am I close enough where I can just reach over and like pull the USB right out?
You are close enough that you could try, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to try doing that.
Okay.
If I'm not close enough, I'm going to try using my powers to do it, but...
If you are close... So you're going to try and grab it with your hand.
Yeah.
This person is going to... Like, you get really close, because you're kind of just like casually like, I'm going to reach out and grab this. And when you get really close, the big kind of like gloved hand reaches out and grabs your arm like very firmly to stop you. And this still doesn't say anything, but they turn and just look, and they just have these like thick, like you can't see anything. You just see your own reflection in their glasses, but they're looking right at you. And I think that at this point, some of the electronics around the store, like he's probably got like Georgie's got screens and stuff, they start to flicker on and off and like static, and some of the radios kick on. Maybe the cash register like chings and opens up accidentally, and things start to like feel weird, like and I think you feel this with your powers. There's interference, there's static, and there's you're starting to feel like you're very connected to the technical world, and there's this normal flow of data, of things that move around between the interconnected spheres of technology, and that is being interrupted, and things are being like not cut off from each other, but some of that data is like moving slower, making weird turns that it shouldn't. Even like I don't know if you can see radio frequencies, but radio frequencies are like bending and like zigzagging around this person a little bit in a weird way.
Yeah. I'm just going to tell them, like, if you don't let go of my hand right now, I'm going to erase whatever you've got on that drive right there, and we'll continue to have a chat.
I think at this point, Georgie is going to walk over and kind of just be like, and kind of say something like, hey, is there something I can help you with? Can we work something out here? Shouldn't really be behind the counter, but like, if there's something you're looking for, I can help. And the stranger is going to just kind of like still looking at you, not looking at Georgie, and say in a voice that is like very much like that, like the way that they alter voices for people who are in like witness protection when they're on a in a documentary or something like that.
This is my system now. Don't interfere.
Okay, I'm immediately going to start interfering.
Okay.
I mean, it may almost even just be sort of like assessing the situation, trying to figure out what... Actually, that's probably more... It's probably more of a pierce the mask.
Okay. So you're looking at this guy,
yeah,
this person, and trying to figure out what they're doing.
Yep.
Okay, so roll to pierce their mask, which is plus mundane.
Oh boy, that's a minus two. A five.
Okay. I think you... The way that this plays out is you kind of look at this person, and I imagine... And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I imagine that one of the things that like frequency does often is everybody's got a smartwatch or a cell phone. And so your normal daily interactions with people are like, you're looking at their face, but you're also like getting latent information off of their cell phone, their electronics, what kind of things are around them.
So sometimes that feels a little too invasive. So I'm not scouring everything.
Yeah. But it's probably not a conscious thing,
but yeah, it's something that I pick up from them. Yeah.
This person is static. You are getting nothing off of them. They are just like, you're looking at their face, and without that kind of like other layer of like even just like the world around them, you're getting a lot more static from the computer. And it's not like your powers are being nullified, it's just that there are like walls, and like all of those systems are kind of like, there's walls between the systems. And they're not communicating well in a weird way. Like, it's not like a hard wall. It's just like suddenly all of these computer systems they're speaking different languages to each other.
Okay.
And so, you're just getting nothing off of them. I think that at this point, like, there's a moment where you maybe see a hint of eyes through those dark glasses as you're looking, trying to make, like, you're trying to pierce their mask. And then... the front door chime goes off. It's like an electronic chime.
Yeah.
A couple more times, and then the alarm goes off, like the security alarm. And I think there is an automated one of those like fences, the way that like stores in cities have fences that roll down in front.
Yeah.
Because like Georgia G's got a lot of expensive stuff in here.
Yeah.
It's on an automatic motor system, and it's starting to go down halfway and then coming back up, and like it's just kind of like rolling up and rolling down and doing weird like malfunction-y type things. And a lot more of the speakers kick on, and there's just a lot of like a cacophony of noise now, as well as the digital kind of chaos that's going on.
And this stranger still is just like,
yeah,
holding onto like my wrist.
Yeah. And they're gonna reach out with their other hand to touch this machine, this computer that has their drive in it, and they're gonna start to like fiddle with the thing a little bit, sort of like partially to like do maybe work with it, but mostly to like keep their hand in front of it so that you can't grab it.
Okay. Man, I don't really know what else to do besides I'm just trying to flip them like a physical.
You're just gonna try to grab them.
I'm not very big, yeah, but if
okay,
they're holding on to me and I can't break free.
So I think that, so if you're trying to like, because they've got one hand on you, and if you go to like grab them to try to physically move them, then what's gonna happen is it's this weird feeling of like, I want to almost describe it as like pulling cotton candy. Is a weird thing. Like, suddenly they are less physically firm there. And this whole person like evaporates is really not the right word.
Disintegrates
into like, at first it's like, they're just like a little bit, almost a little bit see-through. And then all of a sudden they're this like very, physically present cotton, like, but gray, black cotton candy, and you can see like electricity pulsing through it, and the cotton candy kind of like evaporates more into something that's between a smoke, fog, and cotton candy, and it like I'm going to use the word slurp, but again, that doesn't really fully hit what I'm looking for, and suck its way like it's going to like roil up and around towards the hand that was holding the flash drive, and it's going to kind of ripple into that flash drive, and then even the flash drive itself is going to evaporate and into the machine. And then there's like a moment of silence, and you were maybe like faced almost the other way because you were trying to like spin them. And there's just like this moment where there's noise, and then everything settles down and it's quiet.
Well, that was horrifying. Okay. So they basically turned into smoky cotton candy and sucked themselves into the computer.
And you have seen your brother.
I've seen my brother do that. Do something.
And this is definitely not like that at all.
Yeah, that's not what it looks like. This looked much, much more nefarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least that's the way I'm interpreting that. Okay. Does
disconnect from network.
I was going to say
hard reboot.
Are there some cables that I can pull out and unplug from that computer?
You can. As you go to do that, you notice that the computer is already dead.
Great.
And we're gonna cut from that scene. Where do we find Alina? We find Alina in your base. You have had some. The last time we saw Alina, you had a very terse phone call with the asset.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys dealt with that at all? Have you just kind of been avoiding each other? Have you had an open, loving, caring relationship conversation about that?
No, I think that he... I don't think I've seen him since I was able to secure the staff back at the base.
He's definitely been in and out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This is a thing that even happened before, like just really since the end of the whole event with Falcon, even really before, even during, like he was not largely present while you guys were trying to fight Falcon.
Right.
He's been out and about doing stuff, like clearly on some mission that he's not sharing with you.
Right.
And so you maybe see him come in, or you hear someone enter the base late at night. And like Dewey is around, but Dewey will go off on missions too because he's the asset's pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they're in a relationship and sometimes they spend time together. But you see Dewey, and Dewey's just kind of has always been like a, you need to deal with the asset. Like, I'm not going to have that conversation with you kind of a tone.
Yes.
So I think that, so what is something that Alina does around, besides like just, like you go to school, you come home and you do homework, you sleep, you hang out, you do normal teenage kid things. But when you're like preparing or doing other stuff, like when you're working on being a hero, those moments when you're reading the files.
Okay.
What does that look like?
Well, so since she is a teenager, a lot of her information comes from the internet and the computer. A lot of it looks like her facing a couple monitors and accessing different files, just sort of her face lit with the blue glow of the screen. Sometimes it... You know, in a panel or two, it probably looks like a bunch of facts and figures and statistics and schematics and things are just sort of floating past her brain, and sort of not floating past her brain, but floating past her head.
I gotcha. And what like terrible music is she listening to that she knows the asset hates?
She is probably
asking you the hard questions.
Yeah.
Is it like an electronic? Is it country? Is it weird bongo drums? Is it avant-garde? Is it just like punk rock?
It's a lot of boy bands.
Okay.
So it's a lot of 90s boy bands, mm-hmm. early aught boy bands.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you don't hear when the acid enters mm-hmm. the main like living space of this base.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably, I mean, if it were anyone else too, you probably would, because you're pretty observant, mm-hmm. but he's the asset.
Yes.
And so I think that there is just, we just see all those panels of Alina watching and brushing up on files and stuff. And then there's just one panel that's like from behind her, and we see her face reflected in one of the monitors. And then you can see the asset's face behind her. And that's like, she suddenly jolts and mm-hmm. like, and realizes that he's there.
Yeah.
Alina, could you turn this music off? We need to talk. We need to stop avoiding this.
Fine. So I turn it off. Swivel around. I've got my arms crossed. Mm-hmm. Obstinate teen style. So,
sometimes I'm going to run missions, and I'm not always going to fill you in on those missions.
Yeah.
That's the way that this relationship has always worked, and
you know, I don't know anymore. I feel like if you don't want me to be a part of things, then you don't want me to be a part of things. But I don't think it's fair that you decided to move the staff without telling me. I mean, if it's as important as we think it is, why wouldn't you have wanted the help? I could have been there to help you. I could have been backup. Why didn't you talk to me about it? Why didn't you ask me for help?
It was a simple mission. Move a staff that almost nobody knows about to an off-site location out of the city. Keep it safe.
So, if it was such a simple mission, why wasn't it accomplished? Yeah, that's what I thought. You know, I don't know if you've been aware of a lot of what's been going on with, you know, Protean City at large. It seems like you've been in and out for a while now, but a lot of the things that have gone down have really, we really could have used somebody like you. And instead of helping, you sent me. So if I'm good enough to do that, why am I not good enough to help you?
Alina,
And when you failed, how could you not have told me that it was back in play? That puts us all at risk. Everyone in this entire city at risk. Just because you're the adult doesn't mean...
I thought I could handle it. I thought I could deal with it. I didn't think it was going to be an issue. I didn't think that some random person was going to find it. And I had a plan to retrieve it. And luckily you found it before I could, and you reclaimed it. And I do want to think of you more like a teammate and someone that I trust, but quite frankly, you've been running around with those kids doing things using your powers. And where's Mindshot?
I made the call.
All right. Why?
She's more useful to us on the inside than She is in our base.
And you didn't feel like you needed to clue me in on that decision?
You were bleeding out. So I don't feel like this...
But this is how this works. Sometimes you make choices. I trust you to make them. I've trained you well.
It doesn't seem like you do. It doesn't seem like you do at all.
I'm not. I'm asking you where Mindshot is.
She's back. I let her go.
And you have a plan?
Yes.
Okay.
She has a tracking device that is almost virtually undetectable.
Good.
I know where she is at all times, and she has gone back to the appointed compound. And from what I can discern, she has been welcomed back with open arms.
Good. That sounds like a good plan. Well, that's good information. We'll be able to follow through on that. What I'm saying is, sometimes you make a plan and you act on it without telling me. Sometimes I make plans and I act on it without telling you. And when we run into problems, I think we both need to be better about asking each other for help. And he's going to slap a manila folder down on the table and be like, I have a mission for you.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's time that I start telling you about what I'm doing and bringing you in on that.
Fine. What is it?
He is going to flip the folder open and it's going to be, it's police reports. It's a series of police reports of incidents around the city that are, they look like crimes. They look like just like common, like they look like petty theft kind of, or mm-hmm. like not petty theft. They look like breaking and entering. They look like stores being robbed, mm-hmm. but there's always a strange computer component to it. And it's a lot of like higher tech stores. And he is going to explain that, and he's going to say, I've been building a resource. You have been our training has gone well, I feel. I think that you are a competent hero. I don't know that I tell you that enough. And part of that is because you have had, you have been able to lead your team and you have the resources that I was able to provide you. Files about people in the city, information about villains, and that was something that Falcon used to provide. And now it doesn't. And I've been working with the Lunar Lens to build a system to replace that resource so that teams like yours can do what they need to do to help this city.
Okay.
But someone has been interfering. Someone is wreaking havoc on computer systems.
So do you have any suspects?
No, unfortunately.
Okay, and so this is a list of break-ins.
There's a key piece of information that connects all of these. In every instance, the criminal broke in and didn't leave, at least not physically.
How does someone break in and never leave?
That's a good question. How does someone break in and never leave?
So do we have any surveillance?
And he is going to flip the page to another. It's like a couple 8x10 papers of just snapshots from security cameras, and you can tell they've all got like dates and times and stuff, and they are all just static.
Oh, so this person would have to be fairly sophisticated with security.
Yes.
Cameras and computers and stuff. Okay. So what is my mission?
Find whoever is doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Use your mind. Investigate. Maybe bring your friend, the one who's good with computers.
Frequency.
Find this person.
Okay. Can I at least borrow the car?
I think that there's a moment
mm-hmm.
where it almost looks like he's going to smile. And he'll put the keys on the table next to the files.
Yes.
See if you can figure something out. We'll meet up tonight, reconvene, share our knowledge, and figure out how to progress.
I grab the keys off the table and text Frequency. Hey, need to meet. Where are you? And just go out the door and jump in the car.
We can meet at Dynamite Jack's if you want. I'm kind of hungry.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
So nice. I grab the files, or I've grabbed the files, and we're over at Dynamite Jack's now.
Okay. I think it's pretty noisy. There's probably the Protean City High School basketball team just won a big game. Not like a huge game, but they're not super well known for basketball, and so they won a game, and it was kind of a big deal. So there's a bunch of basketball players and families and stuff there. So it's reasonably noisy.
Okay.
So you'll have you, but you're able to get a booth.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know Jack takes care of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You're there enough. And so you can, but you have a, but there's noise and, but you have some privacy.
Okay. All right. Hey. It's been a while. How are you?
Yeah, it's been good. It feels good moving back in, you know, to Pequoy and seeing everybody, and you know, I miss getting together with everyone, but it's nice to see everyone once in a while. How have you been? Have you been hanging out with anyone?
There was, you know, I saw Sokotoa we're not in costume, right?
Right now, no.
Yeah.
No.
So I saw Kalino and Sage. Saw that Sage got a new outfit.
Yeah.
She got her powers back, which is excuse me. I'm looking around. So that's pretty cool.
That was intense.
Yeah. I've you know, hung out with John a couple times.
Oh,
you
know. Couple times. I mean, cool.
Yeah. Have you been talking to him?
We hung out a couple times. He seems to be doing well.
Yeah. Like, where were you hanging out with him? Who was all there?
It was just the two of us. He came to my room once.
Okay.
Yeah, we were chasing kids around the center, but whatever.
Okay. It's just, you know, he hasn't, like, texted me in a while. So I was just wondering what was up with him. You know. Sorry. You know what? I called you for a reason, and we do need to focus, I guess. He really didn't. I mean, did he say anything to you about maybe anything about having to do with me?
Well, I mean, he did tell me about that thing that you guys did.
And there's a like a clatter for a moment as Jack walks up to the table and puts down some, or like flips over some coffee mugs and is like, coffee, anyone? What can I get you? Food? Waffles? Milkshakes?
Oh, yeah. I'll take a strawberry milkshake.
Yeah, I'll have a cherry Coke, please. And some chicken tenders.
Okay. Kind of like, just like points at his, like, remember, I'll remember that. And he's going to walk off.
Thanks, Jack.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. Yeah, you know, he said that you guys went on some sort of little, you know, kind of mission together and, you know, the asset got shot, but.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm glad you two are okay. But yeah, he was telling me all about that.
Okay, so she's a little red in the face, but she's going to put that aside because the asset being shot has put things back into sharp relief that it almost feels, or at the moment, she's a little bit, or she's at a point in her anger and ire that now she's going to prove to the asset that she can do what he does, but better. Or at least maybe that's kind of what's in the back of her mind. I can't really get into the whole thing here. I can't show you all of the pictures, but here. And then she slides the middle folder over to him and says, okay, so there have been a series of break-ins all around Protean City where the offender has broken in, but there's no signs of them ever leaving. And it's always some sort of independent...
electronic store?
Yeah. How do you know?
Just yesterday, I was down at Gadget Hut, and some matrixy-looking person walked in, and it was actually really, really weird. Everything went haywire. Plugged something into a computer, and then they like dissolved into the computer. I've been trying to figure it out myself.
Oh, that is weird.
So this has been happening multiple places?
Yeah, and it seems like each time it's getting more and more bold. Anyway, we need to figure out a way to identify and catch this guy.
So they walked in, plugged something into the computer, and then... like, they had grabbed me when I went to unplug it, and I went to try and flip them. Like, you know how you flip people?
Yes.
I tried to do that, but it didn't really work out. But, like, they turned into this, like, really light, fluffy smoke. It was weird, and just kind of dissolved into the computer. So, I mean, that explains why no one's been coming out.
So this perp is disappearing into... a computer. Do you have the computer?
I mean, I don't have it, but we could always go and ask Georgie.
Okay, let's do it.
It's just gonna smash cut to you guys back at the Gadget Hut. And like, if you're there to investigate, Georgie will let you take a look at this computer because
okay,
he's still kind of shook up over the whole like. Not like to the extent that like Dynamite Jacks is like a neutral place. Like no one, even like most of the worst criminals, or only the worst criminals would ever like attack Dynamite Jacks. Yeah. And like Georgie's isn't to that level, but like everyone goes to Georgie's for gadgets and stuff. So like he's kind of a staple of the community. So no one would like do that. So it's weird that someone would just rob him.
Yeah.
As he's like pulling it out from the wall to turn it around on the counter to show you, he's like, he explains that it's this computer was my Nanobucks wallet. It was where I was mining, and like when I accept it as a currency. So when people I'm on top of things, and so when people come in like want to pay for things with that, that's where they would like put in money. The system, I thought just the system was broken, but the wallet's empty. Like, they took everything.
Wow. So how much was in there?
It was at least a month's worth of sales and
wow,
probably a half a year's worth of mining.
Okay.
Probably should have had that in the bank, shouldn't I?
Well, I've recently encountered a bank and it was not as secure as I had hoped. So.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah.
I can check out the computer.
Georgie turns the thing, whole thing around. And it's kind of like it almost has like the old like Apple computer where it's got like the monitor built into it kind of look. Yeah,
like an all-in-one.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that. And it probably even has like a touch screen because it's kind of a fancy new, but it's like retro future computer style thing.
Okay. And I'm assuming, you know, I tap the power button a few times.
It doesn't turn on.
But just nothing turns on.
I mean, it maybe like flickers power a little bit, like something spins up, but it's not really powering on, no.
Okay. I mean, let me try giving my brother a call.
Okay. So.
Jamie.
Jamie.
Upload.
Okay. So. Where do you? Well, they would have told you what they were doing. Your siblings. They're off on a mission. They are on a mission escorting a couple of the Holly clones or the Striped Eagle clones down to Halcyon City as they are like there's a whole big like this is all over the news, but there's been this whole big program of moving these clones out, making sure they're set up in different cities. Like, it would be really kind of odd if they all stayed together. They might become targeted, and so the people want to move them, and they want to move out and find like their own lives. And so your brother and sister are off in Halcyon City helping a couple of them get set up there.
Okay.
Hey, Ben, what's up? How's things going?
Hey, hey, Jamie, I got a weird question.
What's up, bro?
When you were, I mean, for lack of a better term, looking for me, did you ever find many instances of other people with, like, lots of tech powers?
Oh, man. Buddy, I mean, there are so many people all over this country with powers these days, and there's like everything from people who are just like good with computers to like people like us who can like kind of like do some better stuff.
Yeah, well, I guess like that. Anyone like you who can really
nobody's like me.
You didn't find anyone.
Oh, you mean like with similar powers.
Yeah.
I just meant like in general.
Oh.
Like nobody's like me. Like,
well, yeah, but I mean someone who could go into a computer, like physically.
There was a guy once who could see through computers. That was cool. But go in. I mean, I don't know everybody, but I don't know.
But that's not really a common thing that you've come across, right?
I would not say it's super common.
Okay. There's been a string of break-ins around the city. And I was actually at a store for one of them. And this guy just sort of evaporated into the computer.
That's interesting.
Anyway, you know, I called seeing if maybe you knew something, but I'm checking out the computer right now for the guy. It's Georgie.
Oh, Georgie, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was his shop. Do you know of any way I may... The thing won't even turn on. I can't get anything out of it. Do you think there's anything that I could do?
Well, if the system isn't on anymore, then... So hypothetically, if it were me, and I was in a system that was turned off, I would be... like, probably stuck? Hopefully not dead. but stuck. So if this person did that, if they broke this machine, then presumably they didn't do it while they were still in it. That'd be stupid. But you could check the networking cables coming out to see if there's any, like, usually, like, sometimes if I'm moving quick, if I'm being sloppy, you drag part of the code of the system you're in with you. It might point you in the right direction.
Okay. I'll check that out. Thanks. Good luck. Tell the Hollies I said hey.
I will. And if you don't solve this in like a couple days, I'll be back in town.
Okay.
We can work together. That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't take that long. But
all right. Well, good luck.
Thanks. Yeah.
I'm sure you got this.
I hope so. Okay, bye.
All right. Hangs up.
Okay. Well, this is news.
Yeah, not great news, but...
So, whoever disappeared themselves into the computer couldn't have stayed in that computer. So they must have used it as a conduit. But how do we find somebody who's in the internet?
I mean, my thought would be to check George's internet network.
Okay.
Yeah.
Roll to unleash your powers.
Roll to unleash your powers.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
11.
Okay. Woo! Well, on a hit, you do it. So you're extending your powers. You're like, describe what you're trying to do here.
So what I'm trying to do is trying to reach out to the network. I guess at first, really, the actual physical, like, internet network, mm-hmm. connecting all these things together. But also, you know, this seemed to trigger a whole lot of other devices.
Yeah.
Trying to get a sense of, you said before, I could sort of feel all of the, you know, the signals and the code sort of warping and bending and spinning in weird directions. I'm trying to not recreate it, but basically get that information,
mm-hmm.
And hopefully that's something I can use to reconstruct it. Like, in the moment, I wasn't looking at where it was going, mm-hmm. but I might be able to pull that information and analyze that and see where it was going.
Absolutely. So in the way that, like, you were there, like, you have the benefit of you felt this that weirdness in the moment, and so it was that kind of, like, chaos of, like computers talk to each other. Like, that's what they do. That's what they're good at. And in that weird moment, they, like, it was like they were all speaking different languages. It's kind of like sort of the way that I thought about it.
Yeah.
And so there's this kind of, like, chaos of suddenly everything is, like, trying to reconnect but they're not connecting to each other. And you are able to, because you were there, because you felt that, you can kind of see how they have all slowly, like, found common languages and been able to reconnect. And it's like nothing has, it's like it didn't happen to now. It never happened now because they've they've recovered from that. But you're able to, because you sort of were there in the moment, you're able to figure out what that recovery looks like. And as you sort of, like, feel your way out into the network of items in the gadget hut and then out, extended further into the larger, like, network connecting all of these, the local WAF buildings and stuff like that, and out to the service providers and stuff like that, you can definitely feel the trail of whatever it was, whatever this person was, leaving. And it's subtle, but because you were there in the moment and because, like, this is what you do.
Okay.
So I'm now bugging you. Like, hey, so what are you seeing? What's going on here?
So I can sort of see what everything's doing. Like, I can see it. I can't really piece it together. So, like, over there, but you can see that, like, these things over here to the left are connected. I'm not doing a good job of describing this, am I?
I'm not really seeing it.
Hang on. Look around. See if we could find, like, we're looking for, like, a pair of, like, goggles, like a headset thing.
A headset.
Georgie, do you have any like augmented reality sets around somewhere that we could use? Or I mean, I could even buy one. I mean, I guess I've been wanting one for a while, but I guess. You
know. So I think that he kind of like, he's looking around. He's like looking up on different shelves, and because he's like, he almost doesn't even respond to you. And he's like, oh yeah, yeah, hang on. I think I've got an old pair of, and he finds on a shelf, and he's like, and he grabs like, it's a pair of just kind of like heavy duty sunglasses, but they're just like, they're clear. They have clear lenses, and one side has that kind of like Google Glass style, like yeah. bigger side. And he's like, yeah, yeah, I got these as a trial. Like Callaway made a couple, augmented reality goggles back in the day. It never really went anywhere, but I got a trial. I got a test unit. And hey, you were there. You helped stop. I mean, I got robbed, but he could have taken more, and he could have destroyed more of the stuff. So like, as a thanks from me, and for being a good customer, you can have these.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Alina, I know they're not the most stylish, but here, try these on. I'm going to try sending all this over to you.
Okay. So I've got the glasses on, and I see kind of what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like, it's literally like tracking through a forest, only it's digital. So you see the little bits of broken code, and you sort of try to follow that.
Yeah, and it's like the path of these computers that can't talk to each other is slowly mending itself, but even when it comes back together, it mends itself wrong. And so it's like if part of the grid was twisted and so the lines didn't quite meet back up, even if it's not like there's a part, I think you probably can't see this, but you can, like further out into the network, there's parts of it that are still like torn apart, trying to find ways to mesh back together. But even the parts that have meshed back together are still not perfect.
They're still scarred a little bit.
And so, yeah. And so you can see it.
You know, this kind of reminds me of that time I went to the arcade with Ramon.
You took Ramon to an arcade?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was,
gosh.
We did the virtual reality thing, and it was epic. It was really fun, and then we almost died, and then what's her face got kidnapped. I mean, it was fun.
Yeah, I take that back. That doesn't sound as cool as
well,
I thought.
Well, no, but like it was really cool. We got to be like wizards and bards and stuff, and we went on adventures. It just kind of got a little bit more real than we were bargaining for. I don't know if it's the same guy. It shouldn't be the same guy because we caught him, but...
But so you've done this before, so you're going to be great.
I think maybe we need to talk to that guy.
Okay.
Now I just have to figure out where he is.
So just as a... The augmented reality is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's limiting in the sense that it's not like the way that frequency can directly interact with the internet
mm-hmm.
and the network of things. But the virtual reality world that Autocade created
mm-hmm.
was a more direct way for you to interact with the internet. And so it's a way that you could continue this investigation.
Okay.
Like with the augmented reality, you're kind of limited by, you have to walk around and see things in the real world.
Yes. So this guy's name was Autocade, but he didn't have a body. So I don't think he's our guy, but he definitely knows who our perp is.
Okay. So where do we find this bodiless person to talk to?
That is an excellent question.
So we cut to a panel of, it's an overhead view of the base, and you've got this table that's sort of like adjacent to your computer table. It's where you have it's where we always see Ramon eating cereal,
mm-hmm.
but its purpose is for planning. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's and in this case, the asset has documents and pictures and printouts of security cameras all over the table. He got back a little bit before you did,
mm-hmm.
And he is poring over that information when you enter.
This is frequency. Frequency.
Hello.
Asset.
Hi.
Asset. Frequency.
Mr. Asset, sir.
Just Asset.
Hi.
So frequency has been helping me, like you suggested.
Good.
We took a look at George's tech hut.
Gadget hut.
Right. Looks like the suspect also hit there, and frequency got a look at the guy.
Interesting. What did he look like? What did you see?
Black, like, trench coat, sunglasses, scarf. He was able to dissolve into the computer, which would explain why you never see anyone coming out.
Right. So, I was thinking, remember Autocade, the Autocade incident?
Yes, that was the corrupted VR system, right?
Yeah. So, I don't really remember what happened to that once we dealt with him. And I think he might be able to help.
He would have been taken by... and he's going to go over to the computer and start pulling up information and be like, well, the code would have been preserved for study here. And he hits enter and something pops up on screen. There's the front of the website for the for an organization that serves as a jail for electronics powered individuals, for people who are either like Upload or the VR or Autocade, people who are wholly inside a computer, or people like, if frequency were ever to go evil, this would be a place where they could jail him and he wouldn't be able to manipulate things. But mostly it's for things that are in computers. It's like for evil computer code is really what this place stores. And so he finds records of that, and then like also the sort of like, yeah, records of the transfer in and capture and storage of Autocade.
Okay. All right. So how do we get him here? Just
don't bring him here.
Well, not here, but we need a prisoner transfer request. How do we get, I think we need to talk to him. How do we talk to him?
Well, you'd have to go there and either convince someone there to let you borrow his code or take it. Actually, that sounds like you're triggering your fireside chat move. So why don't you roll plus the mundane, which is the label that your mentor embodies.
Six.
Well, it's on a miss. They don't have time for you because something big has gone down. Mark a condition. The GM's choice.
Fuck.
I think you're going to mark insecure.
His alarm goes off or something.
I think his watch beeps.
beep, 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 and beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, like there's an alarm that goes off. He looks down at it and he pulls it, or like he taps the watch and flips something on the screen and it pops up on the screen and there is some live security footage of a local like startup data center for a lot of the local startups in, or like an incubator space in Protean City. And it's video footage. It's a rapid fire, a bunch of different cameras of this criminal, the same hooded scarved figure we saw before entering this facility. And then as he passes by, the cameras go down and just flip to static. And the asset is like, I don't know, get over there, find a way to make it happen. It doesn't matter how it happens, just do it. I trust you. I'm going to go deal with this. But follow up on your lead, and in case this doesn't pan out, I've got to go. And he's going to hurry off.
But how do you want me to go about this? Through official channels or what?
And he's going to say, it doesn't matter how you do it, just make it happen. And he probably like reloads his gun or something action-y and puts it into a holster and starts to turn and storm out.
Cool, cool. We just get a panel of me kind of surprised and a little hurt, watching him sort of disappear into one of the labyrinths that gets him out of our base, and just says, well, I guess we're on our own.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at @AndTheMeltdowns. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter at HerlockHolmes1. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at RHarvey1211. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.